Those of you who are used to a certain level of production and professionalism, I'm sorry to disappoint. So let's go ahead and put our mission statement up there and say it together. Again, if you are used to a certain level of production and professionalism, here we go. Let's say it together. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what Mercy Vineyard is all about. Okay, we're not here to circle the wagons, like I said before. We are loving Jesus and loving each other and loving our city. And we're growing in Christ and we're going. We're serving each other. We're serving our community. And so this morning what we're doing is we are starting a three-part series. And we're starting off, we're talking about women power, the power of women, woman. All the guys are like, great, I could have stayed home.
No.
You could have.
No.
But you would have missed an awesome message.
Because men need to learn about the power of women,
That's
too.
That's right. That's right. And then next week we're talking about the power of men. And then we're going to talk about the power of the next generation, which I'm really excited about. And so, but we're starting off with women. Obviously, the Wonder Woman clip was not an illustration of me trying to get to the buffet line. But it is no secret that God created men and women differently. Like, to say that is to kind of go, oh, yeah, no kidding, right? It's no secret that God created men and women differently. Did you know that every single cell of a woman's body is completely different from every single cell of a man's body? So it's like, it's not just like parts, right? It's not just that. It's not just about man part and woman parts. It's about literally on the cellular level, everything is different about a woman than there is about a man. And so the differences that we have between men and women, they were never meant to be there so that we could kind of contrast and compare and like criticize.
So men are better than women because they can do this.
And it was never meant for women to go, well, women are better than men because they're just a bunch of dumb beasts, right? And, that's just, we have these weird contrasting and comparing and almost like a competitiveness rather than what God intended them to be. And so the differences between men and women are there to complement. They're there to collaborate, and they're there to complete. And so, if you're here and you're a woman, congratulations. All right? I just want to congratulate you. So, yeah. Yeah, just like look at a woman and go, hey, good job on being a woman. Congratulations. Congratulations on being a woman. You're amazing, okay? So, if you're here and you're a woman, congratulations. Awesome. You're awesome. And so, did you know that women actually have, I don't know if I want to call them special powers, but you want to call them special powers? Wendy says they're special powers, so they're special powers. And I agree with everything that Wendy says. So, absolutely everything. As long as she, keeps my iOS upgraded and changes my batteries, I agree with everything. I'm a Stepford husband. And so, but did you know that naturally women are better lie detectors than men? That women know when people are lying better than people. It's just built in. Did you know that women actually see more colors than men? Isn't that weird? I didn't know that. That was something that, yeah.
Everyone sees more colors than you, Ryan.
Everyone sees more colors than you, Ryan. Everyone. Everyone. Canines see more colors than you. And they're colorblind. So women are more intuitive than men. The women are actually more intuitive than men. That women have a stronger immune system than men. Yeah? Isn't it great how men are so strong until they get sick? Then we like turn into giant blubbering babies. So women also have a higher pain tolerance than men. Yeah. I think most men would just black out in the middle of childbirth if that were the case. They would just completely black out. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, although we know these cool things about women, I don't know, maybe none of you women in here can identify with me, but I have felt in the past confused as to my identity as a woman. Because maybe your church upbringing or your upbringing in your home taught you that, and whether it's through actual teaching or just the way that things were conveyed, that women can't lead, but only, or maybe they can lead, but only in certain capacities, right? We can teach other women and we can teach children.
The quilting ministry. Women can lead the quilting ministry,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes. Or we can teach the children or work in the nursery, right? And women can influence, but only those other areas. And it's possible, like I said, that it wasn't actually taught, but just kind of something that you caught. Like, you just always felt a little less than. And maybe that wasn't the case for you, but it was for me. And on the other hand, though, there are messages outside of the church that, you know, it's all about woman power and we're better than men, right? And that's not true, but that it's kind of, it leans that direction. And so there has to be some kind of middle ground, right? And some messages actually devalue men, which I think we don't need to devalue men in order to value women. That's not necessary. So some messages might make us feel like in order to be powerful, our femininity has to be sacrificed in some way or de-emphasized. So we vacillate between wanting people to see our smarts and our talents and our abilities, and then seeking power through our sexuality. And we see it all the time in movies and television, right? A woman wants to be known for her, you know, her smarts and her abilities until she turns on her sexuality to get what she wants. Doesn't that seem kind of like an oxymoron to you? Am I the only one? Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. Thank you, Karen. I'm going to witness.
You go, girl. been waiting all morning to say that. Some of the people in my life that have had the greatest influence have been women. And it was my mother's passion and it was my mother's prayers that led me to give my life to Jesus, to follow Christ. Thank God for moms, right? Moms are eternally patient. Most moms, you know. I know some of y'all's moms. I know your mom. Amazing woman of God. I don't know where you'd be without your mom. Yeah. Yes. You know, I mean, moms are awesome. And I could say the same thing about my mom. There was a woman in ministry whose name was Jeannie Mayo that completely changed the way that, like, influenced and changed the way that I did ministry. I was, you know, a lot of the things that I do today were influenced because a decade ago, you know, Jeannie, her example in youth ministry completely changed the way that I did it. This woman over here, I mean, 27 years of being the voice of reason. My Jiminy Cricket, my conscience, my voice of reason, my voice of sanity and inspiration for 27 years. So, I mean, you know, women have made a massive impact on my life.
And it makes sense for us to go back to the first woman that God created, Eve, right? To figure out what God really had in mind for women. Our tendency, though, is to view Eve through the lens of her mistake, isn't it? That's what we think about when we think about Eve, and about the fall. And we see her as, or we see women as more easily deceived than men, maybe. We might see women as temptresses or as weak-willed.
Or manipulative.
Right.
Pour on the tears to get what they want. Mm. You know, that's a picture that culture puts. What?
Mm. Mm.
You go, girl.
That's what he's going to say every time. Every time it's questionable. So, But when we do this, when we view Eve through that lens, right, of the fall and of her mistake, then we have forgotten that there was this glorious design that God had for women in the first place. This is not who he created her to be. And so we have to go back even further. We got to look at the original Eve in order to see what God really had in mind.
So in case you're a man here, there's things for you to learn. There's good things for you to learn. So don't tune out. We need to learn what God's plan is, you know, for women and what we can learn from women in Scripture. And, you know, we'll talk about one or two women in Scripture specifically, but we're going to do that. But first, really quick, let's pray. God, we love you and we praise you. We thank you, God, for your awesomeness. God, that you imprinted your image on both men and women. And Lord, you're so big and so awesome that all of your characteristics couldn't be contained in just one gender. God, that you created man and woman, Lord, to represent you. And so, God, we pray that you would just allow your word to come alive in us today and be transformational in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start off. We're going to be reading from Genesis. It's chapter 1, and we start with verse 26, and then it says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us." So we skip to verse 27. It says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." So we're just going to stop. So in the earliest stages of church history, there was a belief that men were made in the image of God and women were made in the image of men. It was actually something that was, you know, popular belief in early church history. Almost like, you know, God made men, and women were sort of like the Xerox copy, you know. You know how the copy is never as good as the original? You know, it's close, but it's not the original. And here in Scripture, we see that both men and women were made in his image. And we both carry God's nature. We both carry God's characteristics. We both reflect something of what God is like. And women are not an afterthought, right? They weren't an afterthought. They are a central part of his plan. So we're going to keep reading. It says, "Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food, and I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and all the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life." And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw it was very good. Very good. All right? And so if you remember one thing this morning, remember this. God created and commissioned women to bring his kingdom alongside their brothers.
Just side note.
Side note.
Your notes don't match because we changed the message. Sorry. Oh. So you're just going to have to write.
You're trying to do fill in the blanks.
So if you are used to a certain level of professionalism, the back of your bulletin went to print before the message changed.
You're welcome. Go, girl. So, but God he's commissioned women to work alongside their brothers, not commissioned women to work alongside of their masters, to work alongside of those they are subservient to. But God commissioned women to work alongside of their brothers. God doesn't specify roles in his instructions, okay, in terms of the kingdom of God, right? And so there's no hierarchy that's suggested here. It's a commission to multiply and to rule.
Yeah, and multiply, sometimes we think of multiply in the sense of having babies, but it can't just refer to that because we would all agree that God has plans for women who don't have children or maybe who never marry, right? God has plans for those people, so does that mean that those women aren't fulfilling God's commission? Absolutely not. So multiply can't just refer to having children, because, again, that commission couldn't be for people without children, or even teenagers, because we believe teenagers and children have a role in the kingdom of God now, not when they grow up, and right? So they're commissioned now. And so this is all about multiplying his kingdom. This is the commission that's given to both men and women, is to multiply and rule and bring his kingdom. So when the second account of creation, there's two counts in Genesis. And in Genesis 2, verse 18, excuse me, we read, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" So helper, a lot of times we think, we see that word and we think it means, well, you might think the man needed some help. God was like, "I better send in some help." Which, I just thought of that.
Just smile and nod, brother.
But we think of it in a different term, like, you know, the man already had his job and God sent in someone to help him. And so that's not so. And just so that you guys know where this came from, there's a woman named Jo Saxton who did a lot of research on this. And thank God for that, because then I could read her research and look up all her references and not have to do it all from scratch. So just so you know, that's where this comes from. But in that scripture, "I will make a helper just who's just right for him." That word translated helper in the original Hebrew is a word that is pronounced Azer, E-Z-E-R. It's pronounced Azer. And that Hebrew word is a verb as well as a noun. And this is what it means. It means to protect, to defend, protect, surround, and cherish. That sounds like a lot more than just helping, doesn't it?
Fetching the slippers. Yeah. Oh. Go grab my slipper and pipes, honey. Slippers and pipe. Go grab them.
Okay.
Good. Go get those. Yeah. You go, girl.
Right. So this word, Azer, appears in the Old Testament often in parallel with words denoting strength or power, which is so cool, women. You should be smiling right now. That is so awesome, isn't it? Because what does that mean? That means that God sees us as defenders, protectors, right? He sees us as strong and powerful. That's how he made us to be. And So the scripture says a helper who is just right for him. And there's other translations that say a helper who is suitable for him, right? The word translated suitable is a word meaning, get ready, equal to.
No. No.
It means equal to. So it's not, well, we need to help the man look good, and we're going to put some eye candy next to him, and maybe she can, you know, pick up the slack here and there where he's not cutting it. No. It's about being equals. It's about working together to bring the kingdom of God. And so the Azer is a mix of strength, power, proactivity, and vulnerability. And we're going to look at each of those in turn. But we see this confirmed in redemption. Okay, so if you're like, "Well, I'm not so sure about that," look at Galatians 3, verses 26 to 28. And it says this: "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus."
Right. So all you old school church folk, are you all upset yet? You're about to be. So the first thing is, a powerful woman lives a proactive life. Okay? A powerful woman lives a proactive life rather than waiting for life to happen to them. Rather than waiting for life to happen. So in other words, a powerful woman lives proactively, not reactively, isn't just reacting to circumstances. And so for some people, that's a supportive role, and for some, it's a role of prominent influence. You know, both are easers. So whether you are a stay-at-home mom or you're running for president, both are easers, right? And so it doesn't matter. So the mother who nurtures her child, the teacher, the doctor, the pastor, the teenager who's campaigning against injustice. I remember there was one teenage girl, I'll brag on her for just a second, Ian's sister, she was in high school and I was her youth pastor. And she came to me one day because she said, I wanted to start a Bible club at school, but my principal is telling me that I can't because it's a violation of the separation of church and state. And I said to her, well, here's what the Constitution said. I remember I slid this little brochure across my desk to her and I said, this is what the Constitution says. Your principal, he doesn't know, he's wrong. Go back and talk to him again. And so she went back and she sat her principal down and said, no, this is what the law says. I can have a Bible club here. And she fought for it and she got a Bible club. She was easier, you know, she was powerful in that moment. Awesome. And so both, you know, they're easers. And so it's the mother nurtures children, the teacher, the doctor, the pastor, the teenager who campaigns against injustice, all proactive helpers that are furthering the kingdom. Okay? And so no matter the season, they are seekers of wisdom. We read about Deborah in the book of Judges. If you've not had a chance to read about Deborah, read it because it's a great story. And she was a prophetess and she was anointed Israel's judge. And what that meant is this woman settled disputes. She was a community leader and she was also a military commander. A woman military commander. I don't know how she did that in high heels. But you know, that's the perception that we have, don't we? It's like, have you ever looked at old, like 1950s films of women in the gym and they're working out in high heels? What the crud? And so military commander, all those things, almost sounds like a mom on a lot of days. But Proverbs 4:8 says this. It says, if you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her, and she will honor you. I find it incredibly awesome that Scripture refers to wisdom with female pronouns. Okay? Because God has made them powerfully. Okay.
Yeah, so a woman is proactive. And then next, a powerful woman is a fighter. So they fight for their family, they fight for their friends, for their community, for their churches, and for their nations. They fight for the underdog and for the hurting. Just like that clip, Wonder Woman, right? Isn't that what, that's just like a woman to go, wait, that can't be done? I'm sorry, hold on a minute. Right? That's how...
Hold my Coke.
Hold my... Yeah. That's how... And it's funny that that's how God made us to be fighters. And I think part of it is the mom in us. But even those that are not moms, you see the woman that will just fight to no end for those that are hurting. And that's what a powerful woman is. They advance the kingdom. They fight on their knees in prayer. And that's just like Deborah, Deborah gave the military strategy that united the whole nation. She's the one who orchestrated that. And an Azer, or a powerful woman, they come back from the battle, and they come back weary sometimes, and they come back even scarred, and they rest, and they recover, and they get up and they go back out there, right? They draw their strength from the Lord. So a powerful woman is a fighter, right, women? Yes. Fighters, we don't give up. That was not powerful at all. Yeah. A powerful woman is a fighter, right, ladies? Yeah. Yes, thank you, Asia. Okay, so also a powerful woman understands that their strength doesn't cost them their womanhood. Okay, we know that our strength is feminine. Strength can be a feminine trait. It doesn't have to be a masculine trait. It can be a feminine trait. It's part of our God-given design, our femininity and our strength. And they can marry together, right? They can work together.
Okay, and the last thing is a powerful woman calls out the champion and those around them. Powerful woman calls out the champion in those around them. We all have the capacity within us to inspire confidence in others. And that's really what great people do. We tend to think of greatness as posturing for position. Like greatness is some form of you have some sort of position in leadership or some sort of title. Or we tend to think that greatness carries some form of, you know, popularity with it. Or we have really skewed kind of Americanized versions of greatness. But greatness is just simply calling out. It's just inspiring others. That's really what greatness is. If you want to be a person of greatness, just inspire others. Inspire others. And when I say inspire others, I don't mean criticize them to make them think. Right? Those of you who've ever struggled with weight, has anybody ever made a crack about your weight and it inspired you to get into the gym? No. No. Greatness is when we call that greatness out, when we inspire others, okay? And so a powerful woman or a powerful man is going to call out the champion in those around them. And so remember, we are called to responsibility and we're called to relationship. And so calling out strengths in others and bringing encouragement in others, it takes a measure of vulnerability. Now, listen, I grew up in a culture, in an environment, in my home where, you know, that sort of thing was not like, you know, the only time I was told you could do better is like after somebody looked at my report card and went, you could do better than that, right? That was their idea of sort of like calling out greatness. We're talking about the awkward kind of greatness, right? You ever gone up to somebody and really just spoken life into them? And you're like, I know this feels awkward, probably for them too, right? And it feels a little strange to pay those compliments. It feels kind of strange to call out that greatness in others, especially if they've disappointed you, right? But that's what greatness does. It calls out the champion in others. And here's the thing. Most people have a champion within them. You know, why? Because we bear the image of God, because that's how God created us. God created us not to just kind of be small and eke by and whatever, but God created us with greatness in us. We were created in the image of God, and that's what a true person, a man or a woman of greatness does, is they see that and they call that out of other people. And they do it in positive ways. They don't do it in stupid ways. They don't do it in stupid, dysfunctional, you know, put downs. That doesn't call greatness out of other people. That's a distorted, dysfunctional means of doing it. Okay, and so we're called to do that, and that takes some vulnerability. That kind of encouragement takes vulnerability. So we need to make, and women and men need to make encouragement part of our vocabulary, right? Especially like with the next generation. We want to make that part of our vocabulary.
And another reason why I like this guy.
Are you out of battery? If you're used to a certain level of professionalism.
If you're, oh, there it is.
There we go.
Oh,
okay.
Look at that. I might have accidentally turned it off. Again, if you're used to a certain level. Another reason why that takes vulnerability, ladies, is because we need to call out the champion in other women. Aren't we hard on each other sometimes? Oh, that's got to stop. We have got to be each other's biggest cheerleaders. For real. Right?
Just read the Instagram comments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, unless you have a perfect body, all, you know, other women are commenting on those Instagram posts. You know, what a fatty, what a whatever, you know.
Why is she wearing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, that does not reflect the image of God, FYI. And so that comparison game that women tend to play, that we can't allow that to happen. Because as children of God and as image bearers of God, when we compare ourselves to one another, all that does is keep you isolated. It keeps you from encouraging other people. If you see something in another woman that you wish you had, go tell her how awesome she is. Right? Tell her that's what you love about her. Right? Lori, I love how fierce you are. You do not give up for nothing. Like, so when...
Go, girl.
So when... And I might say that when I'm not feeling quite so fierce. But that's going to bring life to her, and it's also going to bring life to me. But when we withhold... How many times have... Ladies, be honest. Another woman walks in the room and you think, dang, she looks really good. But you don't tell her. Why? Because you're jealous. Yuck. Right? Go tell her. Because wouldn't you want somebody to tell you? For sure, right?
And call out the champion in your husband.
I was getting there.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't see it in the notes.
It's there.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Call out the champion in the men. See, right there. I just wasn't there yet.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
He wanted to make sure
you
I was calling
girl.
Us.
I just want to make sure you did not miss that part.
I'm not missing that part.
Well, because here, can I just make it parenthetically? Yeah. I've heard in conversations many times wives put down their husbands, either to other people or to their faces. And they say things like, he's just so stupid. Or, he's so lazy. I don't know if he ever gets around to it. Or, and they kind of roll their eyes at their husbands. And you do so much damage to your marriage and to your husband that way. And so call out the champion in your husband, because your criticisms don't do it. They don't do it. They won't do it. Call out the champion in your husband.
Yeah, I mean, well, and I was going to say, I'm so thrown off now. So we're going to call out the champion and the women around us, right? Because when our sisters win, we win, right? We win. We are a sisterhood. And then we're going to call out the champion and the men around us. Why? Because we're all, when he's winning, we're winning. Because we're all in this together. And so, like he was saying, it does a lot of damage when we put him down. And again, back to his point about if you're trying to encourage somebody to do something to better themselves, or, and you know they need to do it, is putting them down going to help them do it? No. 9 times out of 10, with the men in my life, it just makes them dig their heels in. Oh, yeah, you're going to tell me what to do? Okay. I'll just eat another package of Oreos or whatever the case may be. Don't tell me what to eat. That's not him. That's like other.
I never ate a salad till I got married.
That's true. So we're not called as women to put men in their place, right? And we don't need to mother them, and we don't need to nag them, and we don't let them be the grown butt men that they are, and let them walk their path, right? And the only way you're going to see them grow through what you say to them is by...
All right. That's good. Well, today we're going to close. You had something. Do you want to add that, or do you want me to add the close first and then add that? So we're going to close. I just with a challenge. How might it change things for you to believe that God has called you to advance his kingdom? How might that change you to believe that you are called and you are set apart. Do you see yourself the way that God sees you? And I think that, you know, one of the things when we were praying beforehand is just that so many women, I think, struggle with just feeling small. Okay, and I'll let you address that. But, you know, are you living proactively? Are you seeking wisdom? Are you fighting for others and for your own relationship with God? Are you calling out the champion and those around you? Here, why don't you take this and I'll let you do that part.
Okay, so a couple of the words that we had when we were praying with the prayer team, there was a picture of a woman looking in a mirror, and she was thinking how man is made in the image of God, and she was a little less than that, just a little less than, but less than. And it was actually the enemy holding that mirror for her. So if that's you, I want to encourage you to get prayer this morning. I don't think you can walk in this world as a woman and not ever struggle with how you see yourself. I don't think that's possible. So I just want to encourage you to get prayer if you need it, because we all need it, don't we? And again, we're not going to criticize or look at one another differently or judge one another, right? Because we're going to champion each other. And we also just had the word freedom. I feel like there's people, women especially, here this morning that God just wants to set you free to see yourself the way he sees you. And that it's really, sometimes it's hard because we get comfortable just believing the same thing all the time, right? We just get comfortable. It's easier. But I want to encourage you to allow God to begin to, if he might have to deconstruct some of those things in order to rebuild your image of yourself and who he sees you as, because who he sees you to be, that's who you are. That's who you really are. And so I believe that God wants to set some people free this morning to see themselves as God sees them. So if the worship team would go ahead and come on up, and I want to encourage you to let God minister to you in that way, but also get prayer. The prayer team is going to be in the back and also up here at the front. So depending on where you feel most comfortable getting prayer, please do that today if you need it. And let's just allow God to speak that truth and that freedom over us.